Radio Prague News.
The Civic Democrats are trying once again to form a coalition with the Christian Democrats and the Greens. A security firm which guards Radio Free Europe films and takes photographs of suspicious pedestrians, says Pravo. And police have seized personal computers in raids on private homes in North Bohemia. The Executive Council of the Civic Democratic Party unanimously agreed on Friday to begin talks on forming a government with the Christian Democrats and the Greens. A previous attempt to form such a coalition failed, as the alliance was one vote short of a majority. The Civic Democrats, who came first in elections in June, say this time they hope to win the support of deputies from other parties. However, the Christian Democrats could scupper this plan. They say they won't take part in a coalition elected with the support of turncoat deputies. Meanwhile, the leftist Social Democrats have issued a call on two rebel MPs to return to the party's deputies group. Operatives of a security firm which guards the Radio Free Europe building in Prague film and take photographs of suspicious pedestrians, Pravo reported on Saturday, while the RFE Radio Liberty building is just off the top of Wenceslas Square. The plainclothes security guards operate as far away as Mustek, at the very bottom of the square, said the paper, quoting a source close to the station. Pravo said the film and photographs are sent to secret services in the USA. Police seized personal computers in raids on private homes in Kadaň and Klášterec in North Bohemia, TV Nova reported on Friday. 14 PCs were impounded because their owners had pirated software or had illegally downloaded films from the internet. The raids were the first of their kind in the Czech Republic, said a police spokesperson. A two-day conference against the presence of US soldiers in Iraq is underway in Prague. The meeting, entitled Prague Appeal for Iraq, was originally due to be held at the Czech Parliament, but was moved to another venue after objections were raised. The weather? It should be largely sunny with occasional rain over the next few days. Temperatures are expected to reach around 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. You'll find more stories at www.radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news. You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. In today's programme, in magazine, pirate computer programmes at the Culture Ministry, a row over Christmas lights, and much more. Sound Check will help you learn a Czech phrase through a pop song. And later in the programme, we meet the remarkable Zdenka Fantilova. She survived the Holocaust and lived to tell the incredible story. But first, here's Daniela Lazarova with this week's edition of Magazine.
Pirated software is a big problem in the Czech Republic. The past week showed just how big when an audit at the Culture Ministry revealed that the vast majority of the institution's Microsoft programs were pirated. Auditors found illegal software in 200 computers. Now, this would be shocking in itself, but what is worse yet is that the Culture Ministry is the institution responsible for curbing pirated software. So, is the Culture Ministry in hot water? Apparently not. No one has pressed charges against it, and Microsoft, which could be forgiven for doing so, says it wants to settle the matter amicably. Well, that's a nice example for everyone. Christmas is a season of good cheer, and all those bright little Christmas lights are expected to help set the mood. But in the town of Teplice, they are having the exact opposite effect. They have split the town down the middle, and there is now a war on over Christmas decorations. The town hall is a historic building built in the classicist style, which the locals are inordinately proud of. Now it's covered with cascades of Christmas lights. Some love it, others hate it, saying that it has turned the town hall into a kitschy Disneyland. The National Heritage Institute has written to the town's mayor, asking him to take the decorations down and put up something more tasteful. However, the mayor is standing firm, insisting that the town hall looks very nice as it is. This is what Christmas is all about. If it is kitschy, then that's because Christmas is kitschy as well, he said. ...62-year-old Václav Vávra is the only lamplighter in Prague, indeed the only one in the Czech Republic. Dressed in a suit and top hat and wielding a long bamboo stick, he stands out among the crowd of tourists in Prague's Celetná Street as he moves from one gas lamp to the next, turning them on manually. His evening round through Celetná Street, the Old Town Square, Melantrich Street and Uhelný Trh takes him about 30 minutes, sometimes longer depending on how many tourists stop him to ask for a holiday picture. My father was an electrician, and he was proud to have replaced many gas lights in Prague with electric ones, even along this very street. And now they're back, and here I am, all dressed up, lighting them. I wonder what he'd make of that, Václav says. He is the only lamp man in Prague, and proud of it. Gas lights were first introduced in the Czech capital in 1847. Today you will find them around the Old Town Square and around Prague Castle. Lighting them manually is a special treat for the public, reserved for times like Christmas. If you're in Prague and would like to see the sight, then stroll down Celetná after 4 p.m. on any given day up until December the 23rd. Oh, and don't forget your camera. Having to go down to your local town hall to deal with red tape is always a bore. But if it's unavoidable, then what would help make the experience more pleasant for you? The town hall at Orlová in Karviné, the eastern part of the country, decided to ask its inhabitants and got a little more than it bargained for. 900 people filled in the questionnaire, and among the things they asked for was an endless supply of fresh coffee for free, a big television and DVD player in the waiting room, young and attractive assistants, and topless female clerks. Well, it will be interesting to see if the town hall follows up on these tips within its new customer-friendly service. Does waiting for a bus in minus 20 degrees seem like an eternity? Well, think about spending a few minutes in a room where the temperature is 130 degrees below zero. Yes, it can be done, and you can walk out alive and unassisted. Andrew Urbish set a new record this week when he spent 8 minutes and 10 seconds in precisely these conditions. He was wearing only socks, underwear, gloves and a mask covering his mouth and nose. The crisis came around the fourth minute, but I knew there was a seven-minute record, so I just hung in there, Andrew said later. He said he thought that one could survive a nine-minute stay in these conditions, but not much more. When he came out, a nurse had trouble getting a blood sample. He was so frozen, but he played it cool. I could have stayed much longer, but I didn't want to keep you all waiting, he told the crowd of observers gathered outside. Doctors use the cold as therapy to treat infections, joint and spine problems, and various skin diseases. However, patients spend a much shorter time in these conditions, usually around 1 or 2 minutes. Many people like to maintain a nice suntan all year round, and the sunbed is a cheap and easy way to do it. But it's not only people who pay regular visits to their local solarium. Some horses do as well. The mounted police in Zlín take good care of their horses, and after a day out in the cold, they get to warm their bones and tired muscles at the horse solarium. Ladislav Drábek, head of the mounted police, says they clearly love the experience, but they're only allowed in for 25 minutes at a time. Any more could damage their hide. The number of stalls and open-air markets in the Czech capital has reached such proportions that the Prague Town Hall has decided to put its foot down. It wants to pass a new regulation limiting the number of open markets and intends to get rid of close to 40 of them before the end of the year. They're ugly, often sell pirated goods and do the Czech capital a disservice, the Town Hall spokesman Jiří Wolf told the media. And the town hall began with the one which is most visible, the Christmas stall market on the Old Town Square. This year, visitors will find it greatly reduced, much more picturesque and selling exclusively Christmas goods. People who like to shop at these stalls needn't worry, however. Even if the town gets rid of 40 of these open-air markets, there will still be over 500 of them left.
That was Magazine with Daniela Lazareva. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague with myself, Ian Willoughby. And now I'm joined by Dita Asiedu with this week's edition of Soundcheck.
Thanks for joining me for Soundcheck, the program in which we teach you Czech phrases through songs. Today's song is by the band Ready Kirken and is called Hvězda, or Star. The phrase you learn today is Zlom Vas, a popular phrase used in the theater before actors go on stage. Have you guessed what it means yet? The equivalent in English is break a leg. official translation of zlom vas is break a neck, where zlom is the imperative of the verb zlomit, or to break, and the word vas means the nape of the neck, but it can also mean ligament, cord, or attachment. Do you know why actors tell their colleagues to break a leg or neck when they go on stage? There are many theories on how the phrase originated, but it's clear that it's not out of spite. My favorite explanation is that you wish actors to have so many rounds of applause and curtain calls that they have to bow or curtsy over and over again until they almost break a leg or their neck. So if you believe this theory, then zlom vas in show business basically means hope your performance is applauded. Let's hear the phrase zlom vas again in song. In case you're wondering, the song is about a person who is destined to become a star, though his light has yet to shine. The singer tells him to conquer the world and break a neck. And that's the end of this edition of Soundcheck. Join us again next week when we'll be back with another new phrase. This time, to fit the season, it'll be featured in a Christmas song. Until then, zlom vas in whatever you set out to do, and be sure to review today's phrase on our website, www.radio.cz/English, where this edition and all other editions of Soundcheck are available in text.
In the last part of our program today, we meet Holocaust survivor Zdenka Fantlova in this edition of One on One with Pavla Horakova.
Zdenka Fantlova is a truly remarkable woman. Now in her 80s, this charming lady is still busy traveling and lecturing about her life experience. Meeting her, you would never guess that she's been through hell. Coming from a Czech Jewish family, at the age of 18, she was transported to the Terezín concentration camp in Bohemia. Other camps followed: Auschwitz, Gross-Rosen, and Mauthausen. She was finally liberated from Bergen-Belsen, only to find out that none of her family members had survived the Holocaust. In this, the first part of our interview with Zdenka Fantlova, she recalls what followed immediately after the Second World War broke out.
Well, it all started with the German occupation, of course, and it came overnight as a shock, because none of us in the Czech Republic expected what followed. In front of us was darkness. Of course, we had no idea what will happen. And it developed day by day. New laws, new restrictions, expelling from school, and so on, and transports.
How old were you at that time?
I was 18 at that time. I was in the gymnasium, or what would you call it?
High school.
I was evicted, and my schoolmate said, "Oh, this is a nonsense, you will see, they will change their mind." Well, it was a nonsense, and they didn't change their mind. And I was out. And what happened, because I was young and I didn't want to sit at home and darn my socks, as my mother wanted to, I entered the English Institute here in Prague for a year. There was British Council. Simply because I have heard Fred Astaire singing a song from an American musical, Broadway melody, "You Are My Lucky Star." And I was so fascinated that I thought, I'll have to learn this language. I was learning the song word by word, had no idea what I was singing, and that saved my life. Little did I know that 5 years later, in Bergen-Belsen, I'll be able to communicate in English with a member of the British Army who saved my life in the nick of time, the last minute before my death. So you see, there are little things in life which determine. I sort of feel that we have a blueprint. We walk on a blueprint. Maybe we think we have a free will. Maybe we have. But somehow I feel, you know, it's like skiing a slalom from stick to stick, and you decide, I'm not going to do this stick, but it doesn't matter. You have the start and you have the finish, and that's fate. Nobody will talk me out of it.
But first of all, you went to Terezin, is that right?
Yes, we went to Terezin, which wasn't frightening. It was still on our territory. There were Czech gendarmes. The language was Czech. And we had no idea what was going on. Of course, nobody knew what is ahead of us. And because there was such a concentration of talent and the Czech culture, which has been brought in from pre-war into Terezin in music and theater and so on, I joined a theater, and it was the happiest time of my life. I would have never, ever had a chance not only to meet these talented people, but also work with them. So the 2.5 years in Terezin sort of passed almost happily, I'm sorry to say that, because we did not expect and didn't know what was happening. The Germans knew what was ahead of us, and that we were actually sentenced to death. And they thought, oh, well, let them sing and play, and the smile will soon be wiped off their faces, which it was, sorry to say. And so we were happily sort of dancing under the gallows, carrying on, because we thought, no, soon the war will have to finish and we'll go home. But it didn't. Instead of that, we went to Auschwitz. And that was a shock, because that you suddenly landed in a place which was unreal. You were not prepared for that. You had no idea what this place is, where are you, what's in store for you. It was unreal, absolutely unreal. And from then on, your survival depends on your instinct. You do things in your immediate vicinity. You have no wish to see, you know, the whole sort of history in front of you and what's happening. No. You have an invisible circle around your feet where you look where to step, where are the guards, where is water, where is the next ration of bread, and that's all you care about. That's all you care. So that everything is minimalized in your favor. And you follow what happens. I do a lot of lectures in German schools, and they always ask me, how did you survive? Well, it's not a simple recipe. It's a very complicated and complex process. First of all, you have to be lucky that they don't push you into gas chambers, because then it doesn't help whether you're brave or not. Secondly, you have to be young, preferably, rather than old, healthy rather than sick, and preferably not married but in love. And that's what I was. And love is such a power that we have no idea how much strength we can draw from it, because you want to survive for him, to be together again. And there is nothing in your way. You will survive, you will overcome whatever happens. And these are the secret things. That's why, you know, I feel that we humans don't even know who we are, what's in us, what kind of power we have, because it's never put to a test. We are not tested until it happens, until there is a crisis, and then it shows. What are you capable of? And that's it. This I have recognized only after the war, that the inmates in the camps were really divided only into two groups. Those who felt like victims, and if you feel like a victim, you become a victim. and you react like a victim. And it takes all your strength away. And you might even die as a victim. Even if you survive as a victim, you're not happy. Because you feel that you have lost and you have suffered. And, you know, it's a negative kind of attitude. The other half, or not half, small part, mostly artists, they are observers. I was an observer. I wasn't a victim. It had absolutely nothing to do with me. You know, it was all around me. Sort of, where am I? And here's a barbed wire, and here are the dogs, and what's that for? And me? No. So it didn't weaken me. And that cannot be born. That's why I'm saying we have something in us, inside, which I call a survival kit. Survival kit, which we never use, because we have no need for it. And in the survival kit is something, what I call not the first help, but the last help. And these are not medications or bandages, these are orders. That voice in that survival kit tells you what to do, and you do it. You don't think. It doesn't come from your intellect, from your brain. You just act instinctively. And either you are a survivor or not.
In the second part of the interview next week, Zdenka Fantlova will be talking about the power of love that can overcome death.
That brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. Don't forget, we welcome all opinions and queries. Our email address is english@radio.cz. The postal address, Vinohradska 12, 12099, Prague. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.